42! Blue! 42! Hut! Hut! Hike!
This is the Game Managers on WJLX 101.5, America's one and only sports talk show. Breaking down college football's biggest games, latest news, and greatest moments. Are you ready? Because it starts right now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Game Managers Podcast. I'm Nick Norris, and with me is my good friend and promising up-and-coming stand-up comedian, Justin Knight.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Justin, it's going great. Since you have a stand-up show coming up, why don't you give us a sample, just a little sizzle of your upcoming show?
Sizzle, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. What's more disappointing than Nick Norris?
What?
Auburn Tigers.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You're obviously not really a comedian.
Well, as you can tell by that.
If you were, I was thinking about this week. What would be kind of your stage name if you were a comedian? Would you use your real name?
I don't know.
Because if you flop, then
yeah,
that follows you.
My name's ruined forever. I'd probably just go by Nick Norris.
That's fair. Yeah, you can use my name. I don't mind. What's your opinion on naming kids after, like, other people? Like, a lot of times people will name kids after celebrities. Like, people ask me all the time, they're like, are you going to name your kid Chuck? Because my last name's Norris. I'm like, no, I don't like
no.
that name.
But I get it. I probably would never talk to you again if you named your son that.
Really? Well, I mean, it'd be Charles. You name him Charles, and he'd go by Chuck. You wouldn't make his first name actually Chuck. Because Chuck Norris' first name surely isn't Chuck. It's
well, you know
Charles,
how some people
right?
are. They'll probably just be like, I'm just going to name him Chuck. He'll be Chuck.
I think you got to be kind of careful when choosing a name, because that's, I mean, you're stuck with that for your whole life. And
it's a big deal. What yeah.
You know, it's someone else chooses it for you. That's not fair. Get out of here. That's crazy.
No, I don't want somebody else to choose my name.
When I was in elementary, I knew a kid named Dill, and so they named his little brother Pickle. That's true. They named him
Oh, no. Dill and Pickle, they make Dill Pickle.
One of those, I mean, neither of those I'd say are great names, but one of those is significantly better than the other.
Well, but who wants to be called Pickle their whole life? Hey, what up, Pickle? What you doing, man?
And what do you shorten it to? Pick? No.
No, probably Ickle. Hey, Ickle.
Ickle. Well, today we're going to talk about how ordering pizzas can get you fired from professional football, ESPN's new, way too early, top 25 rankings, and the worst fan bases of all time, and much more. So, Justin, we're going to start out with the pizza story. I'm sure you're aware of this by now, but the USFL's Pittsburgh Maulers tried to quietly dismiss running back Devion Smith from the team in early April, but we found out this week why the Maulers cut who was expected to be their lead rusher, and it's because he ate a piece of pizza. You did hear about this, didn't you? I think I sent it to you.
Yeah, you sent it to me. Pretty strict diet on that team, apparently. No pizza. I'm guessing nothing that's considered unhealthy at all, or you're cut. I'm surprised they didn't just go ahead and execute him on the spot.
Yeah, so they gave the team chicken salad. He ordered a pizza on his own time. It wasn't even like during that. I don't think it was thereafter. And they fired him. They called him in. You can watch the whole firing on a video. I think you can pull it up on YouTube. But it was part of a documentary on the USFL. It is so odd. Do you want to hear what the coach said about this?
Yeah. What did he say?
So after he requested pizza at the team hotel instead of chicken salad, the Maulers coach, Kirby Wilson, said, he crossed the line, so we had to deal with it.
Crossed the line? I think cross the line is, you know, maybe getting arrested or, I don't know.
Not showing up to practice multiple times.
But eating a slice of pizza?
Yeah, everybody calm down.
He crossed the line.
Fit. If he's expected to be your lead rusher, and he thinks he can handle a piece of pizza, he probably can.
Yeah, so I think he's all maybe, right.
Yeah. That's insanity. He crossed the line.
I mean, and this is the USFL we're talking about here, and he crossed the line of by eating a pizza?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. In other news, though, former Alabama wide receiver Ajay Hall, that's how you say it, by the way. Last year we couldn't figure it out. Ajay Hall, apparently, I think is how you say it, has announced that he is transferring to Texas.
Oh, it makes sense. Another one.
He was likely recruited by Sarkisian at Alabama. Now he will be playing for Steve Sarkisian at Texas. So, yeah, I guess that makes sense, right?
Yeah, sure. Good for him.
Good for him. Speaking of wide receivers, though, 49ers wide receiver Deebo Samuel has requested to be traded, this reportedly being about his usage on the field, as he wants to be a true wide receiver rather than a wide receiver running back hybrid. And a new report by Tony Pollinet, Pro Football Network, claims the Jets are willing to trade their 10th overall pick for him. It's a high pick.
I doubt when he thought, I want to go somewhere else, that he was like, I want to go to the Jets. That's where I want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's because they'll probably take that trade. I mean, 10th overall pick, that's pretty good.
Yeah, because, I mean, I guess they haven't traded Jimmy G yet. I know they probably will at some point. But, yeah, I mean, they could use that on their defense is still pretty stout. Probably need to get they could just draft a wide receiver and be like, all right, see you later, Deebo. We'll get us somebody else.
Yeah, so obviously I don't think the 49ers want to lose him, but, you know, if he's ready to leave, you can't keep a guy who wants to get out. Like, they're not going to perform the way you want, so.
No, yeah, it's kind of weird, though, just considering how successful the 49ers ended up being in the postseason. And, I mean, they still have a pretty solid team, so. But I guess I get it. He doesn't want to be used as a running back. You know, he's a wide receiver, and that's where he wants to primarily be used. And he probably doesn't want to get overused and injured at some point because they're using him all over the field. So, I mean, right. That makes sense.
And I believe it's came out in the last couple of days that that's only part of the reason. There's some more behind-the-scenes stuff going on that we don't really know about yet. But yeah, Deebo Samuel is going to be going somewhere else and possibly to the Jets. So we'll keep an eye on that. Villanova basketball's coach, Jay Wright, has stepped down, claiming he doesn't have the edge anymore, he said. It seems it's maybe become a little stale or less enjoyable for him. He's looking to move on to a different profession. Fordham head coach Kyle Neptune, who is with Villanova as an assistant for 8 seasons, will be taking over for Wright. We're seeing this a lot now where people are just kind of like, I could just be doing something else, so I think I will.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I was surprised he retired because I know there's a lot of talk, you know, who would be the next coach to kind of fill Coach K's shoes, you know, of all the success he had. And, you know, a lot of people have said, you know, it'd probably be Jay Wright because still has a lot of years left. But, I mean, the amount of stress you have as a college coach, as we know, because it's not just coaching. You have recruiting and, I mean, you got to still be able to do a good job of managing a team. There's a lot that goes into it, so I don't blame him.
Yeah.
And he's already won 2 national championships. I mean, if you know, I've won 2, I'd be like, look, I've done what I came out to do. I don't really have that motivation, desire to do it year in and year out. I don't blame him. Go do something else.
Yeah, he's been at it at Villanova since 2001, so yeah. I don't blame him wanting to try his hand at something else. Yeah. He's got all the money he's ever going to need, so if you're not enjoying it,
I think he's
all
right.
Something else. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. In other news, the woman who sued Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, claiming that he was her biological father, has dropped the lawsuit. Alexandra Davis, of course, originally claimed that Jones paid the mother off to keep it hush, and Jones had never publicly denied it, still has not denied it. The motion filed by Davis's law team to dismiss the suit gave no reason why it was dismissed, but her attorney has since said that she is not recanting her claim that Jones is her father. So, Justin, what does this sound like to you has happened here?
Sounds like she got paid big time.
Sounds like she probably got paid big time. We don't know that. That's total speculation.
I mean, come on. You're so convinced that this is your father that you're going to take him to court. over it. And then all of a sudden you're like, ah, you know what the heck, it's fine. Drop the lawsuit. We're good. I don't need anything from this. No, she got some nice money, considering Jerry Jones is a billionaire. And I think she's doing all right now. So, hey, smart play on her. So they might not even been related. He probably, you know, he's probably got so many lost kids out there that he's like, oh, gosh, that may be. Who knows? And she's probably not even related to him.
Well, supposedly she has, and we haven't seen it, but supposedly she has proof that he paid off the mother to keep it hush years, decades ago.
Yeah.
Now, that may not be true, but that's what she claims. I mean, that's, yeah, the fact that he never denied it, and now that she's dropping it, but she's not recanting her statement, to me says this probably got settled out of court. And, yeah, she's probably right. She probably is. So, yeah, that's good for her. She probably just wanted that validation, and then that extra money on the side, I'm sure, wouldn't hurt if that's what she if that's what she got. So
I'd say a lot of extra money.
Yeah. So, Justin, for the first time ever, the NFL is going to host a full day of games on Christmas in the 2022 season. We've had games before on Christmas, but this will be a full game day as December 25th this year falls on a Sunday. So, three games are scheduled for Christmas Day, two afternoon games and a primetime game. And this will also likely happen next year as Christmas will be on that Monday. So, the full schedule for the 2022 season will be made public on May 12th. I'm excited about this. Usually the second half of Christmas, I don't have a lot going on. So, yeah, I get to watch some games. Play with all my little Christmas toys Santa left me.
Oh, yeah, all your little baby toys. Yeah, usually there's NBA games on Christmas Day. It's usually all they ever have. I don't know if they have hockey or anything like that going on. But it's usually NBA makes a pretty big deal about their Christmas Day games.
Every once in a while, you'll get a college bowl game on Christmas Day. They typically steer clear of that, but I think the 2020 season, we may have had one. Maybe even last year, I can't remember. But, yeah, so they're wanting to compete with the NBA. NBA ratings obviously do well. That's about the only day of the year I watch the NBA outside of the finals, just because it's the only thing on. So, yeah, cool. I'm all for it. We'll find out who's playing in those games here next month. In other news, FanSided, this is fun, FanSided released some interesting statistics this week on the Tennessee-Ole Miss game from last fall. According to the site, Justin, 47,890 alcoholic beverages were sold, generating a $548,000 revenue from the alcohol sales. There were 51 ejections, plus the entire student section ejected, along with 18 arrests. And this, of course, was the game that fans threw trash on the field and Lane Kiffin got hit in the head with a golf ball.
Hmm. Hey, they ain't messing around with the alcohol sales.
Yeah, that kind of gives some context to why all
what
that
was
happened.
Going on.
47,890 alcoholic beverages. That's a lot of alcohol, not including things that people just sneak in on their own. So,
hey, look, they know what they're doing. It's all part of the business plan.
Oh, yeah. They made a lot of money.
Yep.
Unfortunately, all of that probably went to cover the fees, the fines for trashing the field.
Yeah.
In other NCAA news, the NCAA Playing Rules Oversight Panel approved three measures to clarify issues on targeting and injuries on Wednesday. These measures include lessening the punishment for the targeting rule, so now players may not have to sit out for the first half of the next game if appealed by the conference and accepted by the panel, and schools will be able to report if an opposing team faked an injury for a timeout. But the punishment on something like that is unclear so far. And blocking below the waist outside of the tackle box will now be penalized. I don't
thought
care
it's
about
already
any
been
of this except
penalized, blocking below the waist outside of the tackle box.
It's been like a gray rule. Now you can block below the waist in the tackling box, just not outside of it. So it's they keep going kind of back and forth.
Yeah, because I figured you could block below the waist. I figured you could block below the waist now in the tackle box, but I thought it had already been a penalty outside of the tackle box. They were calling that all the time.
Yeah, so not officially until now, it seems. And of course, the biggest thing, if you get called for targeting, you may not have to sit out the first half of the next game. But to do that, your either your school or your conference has to contact the NCAA and appeal it. Which to me says, why not just get rid of that entirely?
Yeah, it's still a bunch of crap. I won't be happy with that until they just take out the whole thing where you're ejected from the game for targeting. It needs to just be a penalty. Move on with the game. And now if you do it, I mean, I don't know. I guess you can have a limit on it. If you do it three times, then maybe they'll throw you out or something.
Yeah.
Or they can do it
or
like
even twice.
Twice, like the unsportsmanlike penalty. If you have two unsportsmanlikes, you're thrown out. Not until they change that, because they don't need to be throwing people out of these games, because they don't throw them out in the NFL. You have targeting that happens. It's just it's a penalty, and then they move on with the game.
Well, speaking of the NCAA kind of changing and evolving, this week, Notre Dame athletic director Jack Swarbrick, he made a claim that he expects Division I athletics to split as soon as the 2030s. And this, of course, comes off the back of competing NIL deals, the transfer portal, the growing power of the SEC and Big Ten, their dominance, which are all greatly reshaping the college athletics landscape. Swarbrick said, quote, "Absent a national standard, which I don't see coming, I think it's inevitable. Mid-30s would be the logical time." So now, Justin, this is something that has been theorized for a few years now, that maybe the SEC would leave the NCAA and have their own league and rules, or perhaps the NCAA will somehow crumble altogether. Do you think that this could really realistically happen?
I don't really know. It doesn't really make much sense. Because I feel like once that happens, then you lose a lot of viewership. Especially, the SEC just formed their own conference. I mean, parts Northeast and West, and they're not going to care to watch any SEC football. I mean, the reason they're able to watch SEC football, because you usually see them in a big bowl game or the playoffs. So, I don't know if television-wise it makes much sense to split off and kind of form your own leagues. I guess it makes sense for the conferences because, you know, they're making a lot of money. Like you said, the NIL deals, you know, a lot of those are pouring in now. So, I don't know. It seems weird to think that you would have all these separate divisions in Division One. Obviously, it wouldn't work because, like you said, NCAA would probably just fall apart. They wouldn't be able to sustain all these different separate divisions in college athletics. So, it just seems like a mess to me.
Yeah, and it would be. And, you know, I have a lot of issues with the NCAA. I think there's a lot of things that need improved upon, but I do like that unity across all platforms, that everyone is in this thing together. I think if like what he's saying is true, that we're moving toward, you know, maybe just two or three major conferences and the elimination of the NCAA, then you have sort of an NFL-AFL situation before, you know, the AFL was eaten up by the NFL. You'd have these two individual conferences or three, and then I guess they play each other at the end. Like, that's not as interesting to me. So I hope it doesn't come to that. I think it is going to change significantly over the next 10 years, but I don't know that it's going to just fall apart in that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot to fall apart in 10 years.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense when you're already all together as one, as the NCAA, and you get to play all these different teams, and yeah, separating wouldn't really make much sense to me. It doesn't sound logical.
Well, lastly, in news, ESPN has released its new version of the Way Too Early preseason top 25 this week. I'll go through some of these. We can stop and talk about any that we find interesting. Top three, no surprises here. Number one, Alabama. Number two, Ohio State. Number three, Georgia. Number four is Utah. So they expect them to not fall off much this year, or perhaps get better.
Okay.
You know, they had a good season last year, but
hey, we know what happens whenever you put Utah in the top four. They end up not having a good year. So.
Yeah. Number five, Texas A&M. Number six, Notre Dame. Seems like we're back on track here. And then number seven, NC State.
Also makes zero sense. That didn't make any sense. I mean, what'd they go last year? 9-3?
Yes, I think it was 93.
And you're telling me they have just this outstanding recruiting class and a lot of people coming back?
I guess that's what they're telling you, yeah.
Okay.
Number 8, Michigan State. Number 9, Michigan. Number 10, Oklahoma State. Clemson, not in the top 10. They fall in at number 11, right outside of it, followed by number 12, USC.
Okay.
There's a lot of hype around that USC program, but how much turnaround can you realistically have in 1 year?
In one season? Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Number 13, Houston. Number 14, Oklahoma. Number 15, Pittsburgh. Number 16, Oregon. 17, Wake Forest. 18, Baylor. 19, BYU. 20, Arkansas. 21, Ole Miss. 22, Kentucky. 23, Cincinnati. 24, Tennessee. And to round off the 25, Iowa.
All right. I mean, I guess that all sounds fair.
Now it's called the way too early for a reason. But yes. We'll see how this... Yeah, I don't even think that, you know, obviously these things do not matter until week 4 or 5.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's always interesting to keep up with it, see how much they shift. And yeah, so that's where we are now. Well, Justin, before we get into our main topic of the week, it is time that we look into the weird news of the week in our segment, Miss Managers.
Ooh. Peculiar and wonderful and terrible and bad. Mismanagement and mystery and dreams you never had. Grizzly or grievous or beavers with cleavers. Audacity and specialty and news to drive you mad. It's a wonder any one of us can manage to survive in a world of mismanagers.
All right, well, we've got 5 stories. I'm not going to read all of these. Some of these we'll just go through the headlines. Some of these we'll take a deeper look. Let's start out with, this comes from Fox 6 Milwaukee. Kindergartner brings Jose Cuervo margaritas to snack time at Livonia High School. I'm Livonia Elementary School, I should say.
I heard about that.
Yeah. So, parents at the Grand River Academy, Livonia, are outraged when a kindergartner brought a bottle of ready-to-drink Jose Cuervo margaritas and multiple students actually drank from them. Alex Smith is one of those parents. Her daughter had a Dixie cup full of the mixed tequila drink, and she had 4 or 5 sips. Smith and another mom, Dominic Sanders, were baffled when they learned what happened. Sanders said she felt woozy, a little dizzy. I bet that she did.
Yeah, for a kindergarten size and then 4 or 5 sips, I'd say so.
Smith said, I had a small conversation with my daughter, nothing big, and she told me the girl knew it was liquor. So that's not ideal, is it?
No.
It's... what kids sometimes do stuff, don't they? So
I guess the kindergarten kids are crazy.
It's wild.
Also, as a teacher, how do you not know they're pouring out alcohol in the cups?
I don't know. They probably just saw like a pink drink and thought, oh, you know, it's pink lemonade or something.
Yeah, a big old bottle of pink lemonade.
WBRC6, they posted a story here. Man hands meth to officers during traffic stop instead of registration.
There you go. Hey, turn yourself in.
Yeah, and he looks like the kind of man that would do that. Oh, I don't think we have to read too much into this one. I think that speaks for itself, but not ideal.
He probably thought the meth was his ID. It's like, here you go, officer.
It's certainly his MO, isn't it? Astrophysicist believes alien tech may have, quote, crashed into the Pacific Ocean.
Here we go again.
A top scientist is plotting a mission to find what he believes is alien technology lying at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. Controversial astrophysicist Evie Loeb believes an interstellar object that crash-landed on Earth in 2014 was some sort of spacecraft. A U.S. Space Command report released last week confirmed that the object was from another star system. The agency concluded that the projectile, which streaked across the sky off the coast of Manus Island in New Guinea, was a meteor, but not according to this astrophysicist?
So let's see.
Do you think aliens have ever visited Earth, Justin?
There's no such thing as aliens. Because last week we got Crazy Cow Man saying all these cows are being chopped up by aliens. And now this week we got this guy convinced they're at the bottom of the Pacific. I mean, let's go ahead and get this out here. What is it? Probably like 5% of the ocean, just all of the ocean's been discovered. I mean, we've had all these technological advances, and we've only, reached about 5% of truly discovering what's in the ocean. There's probably so many specimen and creatures we haven't even discovered yet. And he wants to find some alien tech in the bottom of the ocean? Okay.
Hey, well, maybe he'll find it.
Hey, but you know what? He'll get the money for it. He'll probably get, you know, sponsored and say, hey, buddy, go out there, do what you want. Find that alien tech. Be a hero.
Oh, yeah. This comes from Huffington Post. I think this is one we only need to read the headline. Woman rescued after falling in outhouse toilet trying to get her phone.
Jeez, outhouse toilet. I didn't know we were still back in the 50s.
Head first into an outhouse toilet.
That sucks.
That's unfortunate. Yeah. I do. There is a good quote by the police chief here. After she tried to reach into the toilet to get her phone, he said, that didn't work very well, and in she went. So that's good. All right. And the last story we have comes from AP News. A Florida woman threatened to bomb hungry son's school.
What?
So, there was this boy. He was hungry at school. It wasn't lunchtime yet. He wanted to go get food. School told him no, he needs to be in class. And the woman called and threatened to bomb the school if they didn't get him any food.
Parents are crazy when it comes to their kid complaining about being hungry.
Anyway, we're going to get back to talking about sports here in just a moment. We do have to go to a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the worst fan bases of all time. So stay tuned.
You're listening to The Game Managers on WJLX 101.5.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Game Managers Podcast. I'm Nick Norris, and with me is Justin Knight.
Hey, happy Sunday evening.
Now, if you can believe it, Justin, this week, New York Yankees fans have been labeled, quote, classless and, quote, the worst fan base on the planet by Guardians outfielder Miles Straw. Can you believe this would happen to something like that to the beloved and classy Yankees fan base, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, when their only comeback is 27 rings, we have 27 rings. It's probably one of the worst fan bases out there. Considering too, they haven't been to a World Series since 2009, and last time I checked, it's 2022. I'd say they're probably the worst, especially after seeing what happened yesterday.
Yeah, and what happened yesterday should have been a celebration. Torres had a walk-off home run, but instead of that. So celebrating, the fans threw trash at Miles Straw out in the outfield. So, yeah, not cool. But it did give us the idea that this week we would talk about some of the worst, most obnoxious fan bases in sport. I actually have an article on this pulled up by the Yard Barker. I thought we'd just work our way through it, give our thoughts as we read it. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Okay, so here at the top, we're going to count down, I guess. This is number 25, Duke basketball.
Hey, they should probably be higher.
Number 24, after yesterday, if this story was written after yesterday, they'd probably rank a little higher. But New York Yankees.
Yeah, I'd have them in my top 10.
But yeah, like you said, you know, they've got 27 world titles or whatever, but...
Yeah, but won.
When was the last one? Yeah.
Yeah, 2009 was the last one.
Yeah.
They had a three-peat. It was the late 90s, early 2000. I think it was the late 90s. They had a three-peat sometime in there. But yeah, the majority of their World Series or way back in the day. That's when they were winning them all. They only have, the one in 2009. They haven't really done anything else. So they just need to
come. And they're also the Cowboys of baseball. If you'd have to pick a team and you don't know anything about it, you just pick the Yankees, right?
Yeah, so, you're going to say the Yankees. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like the Lakers or the Cowboys in that regard, I'd say. 23, the Chicago Bears. We don't have a lot of experience with Chicago Bear fans being here in Birmingham. But apparently they're still living off 1980s, which...
Yeah, that was off the last one, time. Their one Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I guess that's... I visited Chicago recently. They had some cool Bears gear, but there was a hoodie I wanted to buy, and it was $120. And I said, "Never mind, never mind."
Yeah. So here's the Yankees World Series. So last one, of course, 2009. They had their three-peat from 98, 99, 2000. Then they had one in 96. Then you have to go all the way back to the 70s to the last one. So I mean, they've only won two so far in the 2000s. So, it gets a little annoying when all you hear about is the rings that they won. I mean, the majority of the rings came from 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. So.
Here's one that I think we'll both be a little more familiar with on the list. Notre Dame football.
I agree. I do not like
Notre Dame fans.
Yeah.
I definitely don't like the Notre Dame program. They haven't won one, a national championship in 32 years.
Yep,
no, longer now. That's 32 years when this was written. And this was written... It's been 32 years. This was written this year. That's a long time. That's a long time. And they still are just as obnoxious as if they had just won a few of them. Touchdown Jesus, though. They have that. Yep.
Yeah.
I would like to go to Notre Dame Stadium. I would like to watch a game there, but...
But their fans preferably. Suck.
Yeah, but preferably when it's like two different teams playing. Not
Yeah, it's a neutral site.
Here's one. This is not as much now that Tom Brady has left, but especially when Brady was there, they were kind of the 21st century version of the Cowboys. The New England Patriots are on this list.
Yeah, I mean, when you start winning that much, you're going to be pretty obnoxious.
I think they're a little more obnoxious ever since Tom Brady left, though.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Maybe it's because they're not as good now, but also I feel like they're louder. And they're always complaining more. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say so. They just want to be able to prove that their whole team is not just based off Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. So they're trying to do everything they can. Yeah, it was. Yeah. And so they're just hoping and praying that, maybe this, maybe a newly assembled team, new quarterback Mac Jones, they can make it to the promised land.
Now this one hurts me a little bit. I'm not a huge fan, but if I had to pick a team, I'm a fan of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Make this list.
Yeah, I can see. I mean, it's Pittsburgh.
It says the Pittsburgh Penguins have had, with exception of perhaps two seasons out of the last 36. Either the best hockey player on the planet or someone in the top three. Some seasons they've had two of the best on the planet, and they've won five Stanley Cups since drafting Mario Lemieux way back in 84. And three this century with Sidney Crosby. Their fans seem happy? Of course not.
No, yeah.
I see that. Toronto Maple Leafs are on here. They're obviously big name brand. I'd say they're not necessarily the Cowboys. Maybe even the Penguins are more the Cowboys of hockey, but they're up there. Those two kind of share that title, would you say? They're kind of the two.
Yeah, I guess
big
I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't know anything about Maple Leaf fans. We're not anywhere near them, but they make this list. What about the LA Lakers?
The chance of me ever running into a Toronto Maple Leaf fan is probably zero. So I have no opinion on them.
Yeah. Lakers are on here, though. I know every let's see. We graduated from college in 2020. And whenever I went to a college parties, particularly like a Halloween costume party, there was always at least three guys that was just wearing a Lakers uniform, a Lakers jersey, I guess just to say.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the most recognizable jersey, especially with Kobe Bryant and everything. Yeah, I mean, the purple and gold, you see that jersey everywhere. But you don't see any true Lakers fans. They're just like, oh, yeah, you know, yeah. That's the team where people will throw on their gear and just to throw it on.
Yeah, and like I'd love to go to a Lakers game, but I'm not a Lakers fan. Like I like them enough, I guess. But I'm not just like, I don't root for the Lakers or watch the Lakers, I guess is to say.
No.
Golden State Warriors? Yeah, yeah, you hear a lot about them on Twitter. They're pretty loud and obnoxious. Yeah. How about St. Louis Cardinals?
Yeah, I don't really like St. Louis fans, especially a little rivalry between the Royals and the Cardinals, since they're close to one another in the state of Missouri. Yeah, they're kind of the same way too. They like to throw up the rings as well, because I think, if I'm not wrong, I believe they have the second most rings. Let me see. But yeah, they like to bring up a lot of rings from the past as well. But they have more in the 2000s than the Yankees do. I believe they've won either... Well, they've either won the same or they've won three. Let's see.
This article says, there are a few things in sports more infuriating than passive-aggressive friendliness from opposing fans, and the Cardinal fans have that markered corner.
Yeah. Let's see.
While you're looking that up, I'll go to the next one here. Denver Broncos. Of course, we don't have a lot of exposure to Bronco fans. The Tim Tebow era at Denver, they were very loud, weren't they? They were all about it.
Oh,
yeah. And then, of course, their Super Bowl win was quite loud, too. Did they play the Panthers, the Broncos?
Yeah, they did back in 2015.
I couldn't remember if that's who they beat or not.
Yeah, they beat the Panthers.
You loved that Super Bowl then.
Yeah, that's when I was still cared about the Panthers. It was pretty disappointing. I mean, come on. You know the NFL's probably got something rigged in there. Peyton Manning, his last Super Bowl. Get him a win. The Cardinals have the second most with 11. They've won the same amount... in the 2000s as the Yankees. They won in 2006 and 2011.
Okay. Well, they've got one in the 2010s that's the Yankees.
Yeah, the Yankees don't. Yeah.
Pittsburgh Steelers, that's my NFL team, so my hockey and NFL team are both on here. I like Pittsburgh teams. I'm not sure why.
I don't know why you do either.
Always have. But yeah, they're pretty obnoxious. I'm not going to lie. Pittsburgh fans, very obnoxious. Very in your face, but when they're amongst themselves, always complaining. I would say they're all very similar to Auburn fans in a way, but more aggressive. Is what I'd say.
Yeah.
This one makes the list. I don't know how fair this is. New York Jets.
It's probably just because they're a New York team. They're probably still obnoxious.
And I guess they're probably incredibly frustrated. But also, why would you be a Jets fan? Why would you be the little brother? You know? Why would you put yourself through that?
Yeah, I mean, you could at least say you're a Giants fan and like, hey, I won a couple of Super Bowls, you know, and beat Tom Brady twice. Instead of saying, oh, I'm a Jets fan. And when you haven't had any success for the past, I don't even know how long it's been.
And I know a lot of times these things are passed down. Like, well, my dad was a Jets fan, so I'm a Jets fan. Well, you don't have to be just because your dad was. You can like a better team. That's not going to give you a heart attack at 35. Boston Red Sox, so they're on here. Penn State, they're on here. The Whiteout game. I think that's fun, though. I like the Whiteout game at Penn State.
Yeah, it was cool. But Penn State's another team that... doesn't do anything either.
Oh no, they've not been relevant in a long, long time.
Yeah,
we got to quickly go through the rest of these here. Penn State makes the list. North Carolina basketball, Toronto Raptors. I feel like they became more worse when Drake started hanging out with them. The fans got worse.
Yeah, and of course when they just won their NBA championship too a few years ago.
Yeah. Chicago Cubs. Yep. Yeah, I get that one. Michigan football. I do not like Michigan fans. I do not like the Michigan program.
Yeah, another team living way in the past.
Yeah, I just don't like them. I don't think they are. They don't have the tradition that they think they do. I mean, they do. No. They're one of the most. They're a blue blood, but not a recent tradition, I guess it's, I should say.
Maybe they were a blue blood years and years and years ago. They don't do anything now. What, they finally make the playoffs and they get whipped? They're like, okay, yep, that's the Michigan we know.
SEC football fans, yep, more intimately aware with that one. Some of the worst, most toxic fans. It's hard to find somebody in the SEC that you can just have a nice conversation with without it being an argument or a fight.
I'll probably say the worst, because you know, George, there's a lot of Georgia fans that are pretty bad, and Bama fans too. But you know, I can have conversations. Like, there's a Georgia fan. We were out. It was back in October when we played them. And it was the afternoon. We were out at the zoo, my sister, for her birthday. And this Georgia fan came up to me because I guess I was wearing an Auburn hat and something. He said, hey, good luck today. Probably be a good game. Yeah, he was pretty good. He was a pretty nice dude. That's cool. It's probably LSU fans. I hate LSU fans.
LSU fans are bad. Let's see if they make the list. I'm just going to run through these. You really don't have time to talk about them. Dallas Cowboys, talked about them a lot. Philadelphia Eagles. Houston Astros, yeah, they're worse ever since that scandal. Kentucky basketball, yes, of course. Alabama football, yes, we know that a lot of them are terrible. Tennessee football,
oh yeah,
yeah, but I think at this point they've been broken. I think they're broke. Like, I think that things are looking better for them, so it may not stay that way. But Tennessee fans have really shut up the past 10 years.
Oh yeah, they have.
Anyway, that makes the list on yardbarker.com.
Wow, they didn't throw the Dodgers on there?
No Dodgers. Yeah.
Because that's another one of those teams. I mean, they finally won a World Series, but had not done anything since 1988.
Yeah, not on here. Well, all right, Justin, I think we've talked enough about awful fan bases. I think it's time that we learn a thing or two in your segment, Professor Knight.
All right, students, gather round and put on your listening ears. It's time to visit the Learning Corner with Professor Knight. Yay! What are we learning today, Professor?
All right, well, welcome back. This is Professor Knight's Learning Corner here. It's a beautiful Sunday evening, so let's go ahead and get down into this. So, many of you do not know, I love history. History guy, Nick, he has a love for history, but you know, I want to be able to teach some history facts, or encourage others to go and just learn some history. History's important. You got to know it so you don't repeat it. All right. So I found something. This was pretty interesting. It was just fun history facts. A lot of things I've never even heard of. Okay. Honestly, it could not even be true. Who knows? But a lot of these are pretty cool. So I'm just going to read off some of these so you can learn a thing or two today. Here's one. So Alexander the Great, we all know him. He was accidentally buried alive, supposedly. Scientists believed he suffered from a neurological disorder called Guillain-Barré syndrome. So they believed that when he died, he was actually just paralyzed and mentally aware.
Oh, man, that's terrible.
Yeah, imagine how brutal that must have been. Yeah, everybody thinks you're dead, and then they're just burying you. You know everything that's going on. You just can't move. You're like stuck. Ugh. It's like you're stuck in a dream. It's like a sleep paralysis. Yeah. You know everything's going on, but you're like, I can't do anything.
That's a nightmare.
So you may know them as a bunch of heroes that broke box office records with their movies, but the Avengers were also a group of Jewish assassins who hunted Nazi war criminals after World War II.
That's awesome.
They poisoned 2,283 German prisoners of war.
Wow, so they were very effective.
I would say so.
Yeah, that's crazy. I like any kind of story or movie or book about like Nazi hunters, like post World War II. Like, yeah. Because there's so many of those guys just didn't get any sort of real punishment. And so, you know, you had some vigilante justice, people taking it into their own hands to go hunt these guys down. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. From 1912 to 1948, the Olympic Games held competitions in the fine arts. Medals were given for literature, architecture, sculpture, painting, and music. Obviously, the art credit was required to be Olympic-themed.
I think that's interesting and maybe something they should consider doing again, but I don't know how you fairly judge that because that's...
Because when you think of art, it's a lot of opinion. Everybody has their likes and dislikes. You know, you can't. That would be hard to judge. Napoleon, as we know, famous French emperor, he was once attacked by a horde of bunnies. You know those bunnies. He had requested that a rabbit hunt be arranged for himself and his men. When the rabbits were released from their cages, the bunnies charged towards Napoleon and his men in an unstoppable onslaught. So, you know, do you ever watch, what was that silly movie made back in like the 70s and 80s? It was, what was it called? Where they're trying to find, what was that cup? Like medieval times, like King Arthur and his knights, they're trying to find... that mysterious and
it's a King Arthur.
Do you know what
movie?
I'm talking about?
Or it's like a Indiana Jones esque movie.
It was Monty Python and the Holy Grail. You remember the rabbit bunny that attacks them on their quest for the Holy Grail?
Yeah,
that's probably
those movies are great.
Napoleon. Yeah. All right, a couple more here. Cleopatra, we know her. She actually wasn't Egyptian. She was actually Greek. She was a descendant of Alexander the Great's Macedonia general Ptolemy. So, there you go.
I remember hearing that recently, actually, I think.
And here's a good one, which we've talked about this before, but I don't think a lot of people know this. Did you know Abraham Lincoln is in the Wrestling Hall of Fame? The 6'4 president had only one loss among his around 300 contestants, or contest. He earned a reputation for this in New Salem, Illinois, as an elite fighter. So, hey, not only was he a great president, he was a great fighter.
I like to imagine that all 300 of those were back-to-back, and they just had him in a cage like a bear. It's like, who can wrestle him? And finally, at the 300th one, somebody got him.
That's great. And he's like, all right, I'll retire.
Very good. Well, thank you, Professor Knight, for another wonderful, lovely segment. We are going to come back to do our weekly awards show, the TG Emmys, so stay tuned. Welcome back, everyone, to the Game Managers Podcast, where we are about to release our weekly awards for this week. The TG Emmys, the most prestigious awards in the sports world. I'm Nick Norris, and with me is Justin Knight.
Your esteem host, Justin Knight. How's it going?
Oh, I can't wait to give out these awards. I'm just rubbing my little hands together. I can't wait. And I'm going to give the first award for the dumbest man. I usually am very specific with these awards,
okay.
But this award is just for the dumbest man. And this goes... I don't know if you saw this. There's a video online. This goes to the guy who kept talking smack to Mike Tyson on a plane, and he got rocked with a few blows to the head. Was bleeding out of the side of his head. Dumb.
Yeah.
Very dumb.
I'd say his IQ is pretty low.
Lower now.
He's just going to keep
the concussion.
Yeah, keep antagonizing Mike Tyson, who is crazy, by the way. I mean, Mike Tyson's crazy. He bit someone's ear off, part of it. And
yes.
You think you just mess Mike Tyson and nothing's going to happen? I mean, come on.
He was convicted of rape, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, he's a very loose unit.
He's a psychopath.
Maybe don't mess with him. Yeah.
Yeah, probably the best idea.
Justin, what award do you have?
Yeah, that's great. Mine goes to the most upset baseball player for this week. This goes to Tim Anderson. He was out, you know, playing short. And I guess there's just one fan out of all the fans in a baseball stadium that I guess just kept letting them hear it, kept telling them the score, because they were losing, the White Sox were losing to the Guardians 11-1. And he said, you know what, here's my middle finger, here's the bird. And that resulted in a one-game suspension. So, yeah. Hey, way to go. And, you know, maybe it was well-deserved. Maybe, you know, I don't know.
The Guardians they've just been touring around and must have been thinking, this is some crazy stuff going on. Between that and the Yankees fiasco.
And the Yankees, yeah.
Our award for High School Athlete of the Week this week goes to Jasper Vikings' Allie Beth Waldrip, who tied for second at the 2022 Husky Invitational at Timberline Golf Course. So, very good.
Oh, nice. Yeah, hey, Timberline's a nice golf course. So, hey, good job.
Yeah, nice.
Did you know what they shot?
No, that wasn't posted on Facebook. Oh. I didn't see that. But okay. But it got second place. Pretty good. Pretty good, I imagine.
Congratulations.
Best of the week. The best thing we saw this week. This goes to Tyson Fury, I think, his knockout uppercut on Dillian Whyte to retain the heavyweight title in Wembley. He also hinted that he might retire off this one. And, yeah, he's undefeated. Why not go out at the top? Sounds good to me.
I was about to say, he's probably one of the best heavyweight fighters to ever do it. So, I mean, he's won how many belts now?
6,000. He's won 6,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know he had that many. Wow, nice.
Yeah. And bust of the week. This goes to the worst thing we saw of the week. And it almost is the best this week. I don't know if you saw this clip, Justin, but North Central pitcher, he threw a ball that got hit for a home run. So on the way around the bases, he tackled the batter who hit a home run off of him. And it was no light tackle. He threw his body at him like a linebacker in the 80s and,
yeah,
and destroyed
him. I saw
him.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good stuff. And then, the runner was still, he still, after all that happened, he got back up and ran, touched home plate. But
yeah, got to touch the base.
They suspended the pitcher. I was like, no, it's not going to stop here. They ended up kicking him off the team, which is what I thought would happen.
And maybe there's some, he's getting some legal troubles out of that. Obviously, he probably should. But yeah, crazy stuff.
I mean, yeah, you know, if you want to go and throw hands, you know, do it maybe once he touches home plate and if you have an issue with something. Tackling him? I've never seen that before. They don't even. I mean, I've never seen anybody just say, hey, you know what? Enough's enough. This dude just hit a home run off of me. I'm just going to tackle him.
Also, like, you're the one who threw the pitch. Like, maybe you should be more mad at yourself, you know?
Yeah, maybe you should throw better pitches. Maybe, you know, not be upset at the guy that just hit a bomb on you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go to our next segment, Listener Letters.
Best one.
Go-getters write letters, we're the ones who read them. Please don't stop writing in to fill the time we need them. We are reading letters, the letters wrote by you.
Okay, if you'd like to reach the show, you can do so at gamemanagerspod@gmail.com. You can also just message us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, where you can find us at TGMPod. This comes from Sam. He says, Dear Nick and Norris. It's good.
Oh,
you're Norris. Okay. That's good because recently we had a listener that wrote, Dear Justin, another host. So I'm glad I'm getting a lot this time around.
It's fair. Yeah.
Sam says, I'm getting married next month. Can I get a shout out and some marriage advice? Shout out, Sam. All right. Now we need marriage advice.
Hey, shout out.
He says, Sam. Thanks for keep up Sam. The good work, Sam. You're a married man, Justin. You've been married for six, seven months, half a year or so, probably.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm probably still in no place either to give any advice, considering it's only been, 7 months since we got married back in August. So, yeah, I guess it's about to be 8 months in May.
I would argue, though, that those 7 months, you're learning a lot on the fly, though. So
that's true. I mean, there's so much, considering, you know, me and Jordan, we still lived with our parents before we got married. So it was all new to us, you know, being on our own, buying a house. And figuring everything out. I think it's just, it's hard to say just, you know, what's the most important thing to do. I think, you know, just have fun, enjoy, you know, every moment that you have because, you know, it already flies by. It's already been almost 8 months. Seems like it was just yesterday. yeah, just enjoy every moment you have. Can just continue to have fun and, you know, still continue dating. You know, doesn't change anything. You're still dating the other person even when you're married.
Yeah, you're still dating multiple people even though you're married.
Yeah, it's multiple people. Yeah, I mean, I got a lot of different things to balance here, so you know, it makes it a little difficult. But yeah, it's just, you know, you're getting married for a reason. You really, you love that other person, so you know, you got to show it every day.
Yeah, maybe get a man cave if you have the room.
Yeah, get a man cave and just hide away. Get away as far as you can.
And she's probably going to want you to have that away. Too. She's going to want you kind of off the couch sometimes too, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of times where you're like, okay, I want to have my own time now.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, congratulations, Sam.
Yeah, congratulations, Sam.
Or you can be like Jonah, who just messaged in and just said, roll tide. That works too. We'll take those kind of, messages as well. So that wraps up the show, though. Thank you, everyone, for listening and subscribing. Remember to you can find us at gamemanagerspod@gmail.com, at TGMPod, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Justin, any last words before you are executed?
Hey, enjoy your week. Hey, all you Auburn fans out there, you know what? There'll be our day where someone will comment in on the page and say War Eagle instead of Roll Tide. That's what it's going to be. It will have our victory. You just got to wait. Be patient. It's a process. That's all I have to say.
All right. Well, goodbye, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Hey, we're ugly anyways.
Blue 42! Blue 42! Hut! Hut! Hike!
Thank you for listening to The Game Managers. Like the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at TGMPod. Until next week, goodbye, adios, and sayonara.